So why is it that in 48 hours from now there's going to be 500,000 Jews, you know, flocking to Meiron? Why is that? So this is not going to be a share about whether one should or shouldn't. We're just going to talk about the day. Now there are going to be maybe less this year because still the skies are still closed, but people travel, fly from all over the world. So what is it about this day that captures the magic, the imagination, and the ruchnius? What are we supposed to think about? You know, about this day? It's definitely a day that is a day that we have to mark. You know, not just to skip Tachanun, but in some more positive way. What are we supposed to think about as we get to two thirds of the way till Kabbalah Satara? Good. So what is it? Where are the earliest discussions? So it starts, even though it doesn't really start yet, but the background is, of course, the famous Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis, which is the closest thing we get. I guess we'll get to Shabbos Lag, Lamed Gimel, soon. But the background Gemara is Yevamos Samach Beis. Right, that's where the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara tells us that based on Psukim, that even if somebody succeeds when they're younger, they should not stop when they're older. Nasadam Isha Bial Duso, Isha Bizik Nuso. When somebody's younger, they should still try to have children when they're older, right? Well, leading up to Shavuos. So if you remember the Boaz, who the Gemara says was the Shovit Ivtzon, Boaz Basra last year, Ivtzon, the Gemara says that Ivtzon had 60 children. 60 children, and they all predeceased him, Rahman al-Itzlan, because of a certain reason. But then, the last night of his life, Chazal say the next day he died, he was with Rus and gave birth to Oved, Yishai, David. So the last night, so that's Akiyam. Even if you have a lot of children, don't stop anything until the last day. That's exhibited by Boaz. But Rabbi Akiva too, Rabbi Akiva Omer, La Matar, Bialduso, Yimal Torah, Bizignuso. Somebody learned Torah when they were younger, they got to learn Torah when they're older too. Hailo Talmidim, Bialduso, Yilo Talmidim, Bizignuso. If you have Talmidim when you're younger, you should have Talmidim when you're older. Not even younger. Rabbi Akiva had no Talmidim before he was 40, right? And then he learned, so during those years, afterwards, then he started having Talmidim. But as the Gemara says, Amru Shneimasar Elef Zugim Talmidim, 12,000 pairs, doesn't say 24,000 students. 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. Hayalal Rabbi Akiva, Migeves Anatiparis, Vekulan Mesim Aparagecha, they all died at the same time period in the year. So he knew it wasn't just coincidence. Mipnei Shelo Nagu Kavod Zevazeh, because they did not give proper kavod to each other. Why is that a reason for Chiyav Misa? That's not our topic tonight. That's an important topic. But, you know, Lo Nagu Kavod Zevazeh. But either way, Vayala Olam Shamim, and the world was spiritually desolate. Achabar Rabbi Akiva, it's our Abbasina Shabbadarim until Rabbi Akiva started again. Until he started again. Vishana Lahem, and he taught Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Heim heim hamidu Torah bo'sasha. So this is where it comes from. This is where it comes from, the time period that we are in right now. The Talmidei Rabbi Akiva all died during the time when, one more line, Tana Kula Mesu Mi Pesach Baratzeres, between Pesach and Shavuos. That's the Mesorah. This is the only thing in the Gemara about Yimei Sfira. Doesn't talk about any Minhagi Avelus in Shas. It just has this story. Sometime after Shas, sometime during the times of the Gaonim, that's when certain Minhagi Avelus started. The Meiri quotes some of these Minhagi Avelus about not getting haircuts and weddings. But the Meiri then quotes a Kabbalah from the Gaonim. Here it is. Kabbalah from the Gaonim. Even though the Gemara says that the Talmidim died between Pesach and Shavuos, there's a Kabbalah on the Sora that they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. They stopped dying. Kabbalah b'yad Gaonim, Shavyom la'magimah BaOmer, Pascha HaMisa. V'nogim mitokach shlo l'sanus bo, not to fast on Lag BaOmer. V'nogim mitokach shlo l'isa isha mipesach aros ozman, not for Pesach till that time. But afterwards, we do. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes. Noagim shlo lisa isha mepesach latzeres ad lag ba'omer, v'bnei shiva oso zman meisal amir b'yakiva. Good. And then Noagim shlo lisa tapar ad lag ba'omer, lamagimo, lamadalad. But this is it. So this is all that we have about lag ba'omer in the earlier sources. So what happened? So what happened? Why is it? If you look at the top five tourist attractions in Israel, I'm telling you, top five most visited places in Eretz Yisrael, top five, Meiron is like number two or three. Why? Because of this one day. Because of this one day. It's up there with like the Kotel, right? And the famous whatever churches that people go to. That the Christians come for. So it's up there because half a million people in a year when the skies are open go there. So when did that start? So that we have to go to the Arizal. The Arizal comes to Tzfat in the 1500s. Rabbi Yosef Cairo is already an older man, right, in Tzfat. The Radvaz was there for a little bit, but now the Radvaz is in Egypt. The Arizal goes from Egypt to Tzfat. He's only in Tzfat for 2 years, and then he's nifter at a very young age, in his 30s. The Arizal gets to Tzfat, and in the 1600s, and the 1500s, right? The Rabbi Yosef Cairo was born in 1488. He was also in the Spanish Inquisition, but he made his way to Tzfat, and he and the Arizal overlapped in Tzfat. So what happens? One, Lag BaOmer, he tells his Talmidim, we're going to that mountain over there, right? They go down out of Tzfat. Maybe they pass by Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda from the Mishnah is buried right there outside of Tzfat, down the mountain. So you go down, you go back up, and you go to Meiron. Meiron after the Hermon. The Meiron is the tallest mountain in Israel, right? It's huge, right? So you go to Meiron, and he takes his Talmidim, and they start having a mesiba, having a party at Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He, the Arizal, is the one that put Lag BaOmer, so to speak, modern Lag BaOmer on the map. The question is, why did he do that? What did the Arizal see in Lag BaOmer and in Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that we can learn something from? Again, we're not talking about go away. We're just talking about the day itself. And the Arizal obviously saw something special about the day. Usually, we don't think as... Let's go back a step. Why did he go to Meiron at Lag BaOmer to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's kever? Because there's a Mesorah that was his yard site. That is his yard site. It's a Mesorah that it's his yard site. But again, we ask, yard sites usually aren't days of celebration. The Shulchan Aruch quotes 30 or 40 different days that are yard sites, and therefore you should fast if you're a Baal Nefesh. And we don't. There's a minhag in the Shulchan Aruch that some have that fast on the yard site of a parent. The Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchas Tainis, source number 4, Elu Yamim Shiru Bam Saros Labosenu. These are the days that Saros happened. Royalis Anos Bam. This is when Ben Aaron died. This is when Miriam died. This is when Yishuv Ben Nun died. This is when every day. So many. So we usually don't have celebrations on the days of a yard site. So what is it about this day that makes a difference? Yeah, you had a question?
What?
So why? Who's we? Why don't we? The Shulchan Aruch does not say that you should not say Tachlin on the yard site. That is a later custom. I once asked a Rebbe, and he said, "Oh, it's Rashi at the end of Yavamis." So I said, "Can you show me the Rashi at the end of Yavamis?" So he showed me a Rashi that talks about learning and at the near a kever. Didn't say anything about Tachlin or yard site. Again, it's an extension of an extension of an extension. Again, that's the minug of some, not to. And again, there's certain bases. Again, maybe it developed from this type of idea, but it's it's a different way of reacting to a yard site. And the Shulchan Aruch does not say it. Before we get into the message is just to note that not everyone is happy about what goes on at Lag BaOmer. Not everyone is happy in terms of not the details of what's going on there, but even just showing tremendous focus to a city other than Yerushalayim. That's really what the Chassam Sofer was bothered by. Chassam Sofer in Etshuva in Chelik Beis in source number 5, Simon Reish Lam and Gimel. So he hears about, again, I don't think he was ever in Eretz Yisrael. Is there in Pressburg? Yadati ki shamati shachshav achshir dari mimerchak yavo yidrushuas Hashem biir hakodesh tzvat biyom lag baomer biluud rashbi. So he means he was never there. Tzvat Meiron, that area. Veim ki kol kavanasam l'shem shamayim scharam rav v'li safek v'digulo v'deliku neiris aleava. Right, they light fires. I'm going to stay away. I'm going to stay away. Kibed Rusoi. The law at Sarach Leos Yoshiv Sham Umishanim Minhagam Befniem. So as the Scharimon to start a new minog that's not quoted in the earlier sources. I don't think. And he goes. This is an important tshuva for a different sugya about making one's own holidays. There were, before World War II, the Shulchan Aruch has, and the Poskim quote, Purim delays. There was a certain city that was saved by a nace, so they had a yontif that day. And so he talks about that concept. It relates to the Yom HaTzmut discussion. So he says, I understand those, but what nace happened on Lag BaOmer? What's the celebration about? Right? He says, maybe, and this we'll get to later, he says, maybe, according to some, the calculation is that the mon started falling on Lag BaOmer. Yud Ches Iyar. It started, if you do the math, and it lasted a month after, okay, but what does that have to do with Rav Shmuel Yochai? And he continues, line 12, Lasos Yom Simcha V'Adzlaka V'Makam Yadua Dafka She'Tel Talpios Shakol Nifnim L'Sham. Right, what's he playing on words? That's the pasuk the Gemara quotes to focus on Yerushalayim, Brachos Daf Lamed. Tel Talpios, Tel Shakol Pios Ponimbo, all mouths turn to it. So he says to have a city that called Tel Talpios, I call Ponimbo, Lo Yadati Marshal Lasos King. It's not nice. It's not fair. Not fair to Yerushalayim. He doesn't say it here. But he writes it in drasha. Again, only the Chacham Sofer could even like dare say such a thing. You know, there was a terrible earthquake in Sfat in the 1850s, 1840s. When you go to the cemetery, somebody broken down gravestones. He says, I don't know. If, you know, Kadosh Baruch was upset that when I was showing more covet to different cities than to Yerushalayim. So again, we're not, that's the words of the Chassam Sofer. But either way, that's, he's not focused on that. They once went to Rabbi Yashiv and said, Rebbe, do you want to, we'll fly you in a helicopter just to be there for the Hadlaka. Just fly you. And he said, why? Rebbe, and he said, I've never been there. Well, you've never been there in Lag BaOmer? He's like, no, I've never been there. Period. I've never, wasn't his thing. But again, we have different types of gdolim. We need the Rav El Yashivs in the world. We also need the Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav El Yashiv, if you ever see a picture of him, he's never looking at the camera. He's learning. Well, I'm gonna stop learning so I can smile. Right? He's learning. So that's a Rav El Yashiv gadol. Then there's the Rav Shlomo Zalman gdolim. Rav Shlomo Zalman is always smiling. And he's always looking. They were machatonim. In the Rav El Yashiv biography, they tell the story that at the wedding, I mentioned this before, at the wedding at 10:30 at night, Rav El Yashiv comes to Rav Shlomo Zalman and says, Mazel Tov. It's like, what? It's like, I'm going. It's like, what are you going? It's your child's wedding. It's like, yeah, but it's 10:30. Rav El Yashiv slept 4 hours a night, 10:30 to 2:30. That's why he slept 4 hours a night, woke up, learned, davened at 10 to 7 at his minion in Meisharim. But that's, he was, so we need different types of dolim. We need the Rav El Yashivs, and we need the Rav Shlomo Zalmans. You know, they're both different dmuyot. You know, we probably relate more to the Rav Shlomo Zalmans. but either way, so he, you know, he was just learning. So not everyone even is recognizes that part of it. I gave you a tshuva, which is not for now, a tshuva from the Shari Tzion. That's the tshuvas of the Rav of the Kotel, Rav Rabinovich. So he has a tshuva about when Lag BaOmer falls on a Sunday, urging all the havakos and everything to be on Sunday night or Sunday, not Moti Shabbos, because there's so much Chilul Shabbos, because the police have to come hours before to try to set up. So it's, you know, he. This is a tshuva, interesting tshuva, and Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg has a letter about it. But either way, that's not for us now. Now let's get to, though, so what is it about the day? Was it about the day, whether, and why, is there a specific reason that the Arizal himself was the one that brought this back? So three smaller points, and then two other points. Number one, the B'nai Saschar tells us that Lag BaOmer is 17 days before Shavuos, right? 33, 17, right? 70 days, Tov. We're two-thirds of the way there. Says the Bnei Yisachar, this is the Torah is called Tov. This is the last lap, so to speak, in Kabbalah Satorah. This is when the light of Shavuos starts shining. Rav Shimon bar Yochai, you know, has a is a tremendous, maybe the light that he gave over so many secrets before he was Nifter that day, the secrets of the Zohar, the secrets. So it's the light of Shavuos, the Torah of Shavuos, and the light of Rav Shmuel Yochai that Lag BaOmer, connects. So he says that's why, that's the celebration. Okay, so that's, the Ora Torah, and that's why there's fire, number one, the Bnei Sasser. A second idea, though, is based on the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. We're in Shabbos Daf, Lama Gimel, Lag. Right? Lama Gimel, and that is the Gemara about Rav Shmuel Yochai in the cave. Right? At the Chazdis every year, at least around this time of Lag BaOmer, the Gemara talks about how he got into the cave, not for now, that somebody, actually, we'll just read it quickly. Yasir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, right, the three of the great Tanam were sitting, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayu. Yehuda ben Gerim, who we don't know so much about. All we know is that he got them in trouble. Right? He's called Yehuda ben Gerim. At the end, the Gemara tells a story about what happened at the end when they got out of the cave. But either way, they start having a conversation. Yehuda says, aren't the Romans nice? They built all these bridges and tunnels and marketplaces. Rabbi Yossi didn't say a word. And Rav Shimon bar Yochai says, what are you talking about? The Romans are all selfish. You know what they built it? Kol ma'ase tiknu lo tiknu l'tzorach atzman. They built it for their own reasons. Tiknu shvakim. Why they build marketplaces? They want to help out the economy? No, l'ashu b'hem zonos, to do inappropriate things. Merchatzos la'adein b'hen atzman. K'sharim litol b'hem mechaz. They're not collect taxes. Yehuda ben Gerim told somebody what he heard. Doesn't say that he told the government, but then it says v'nishmu l'malchus, and they put out a gzeira. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, he was the one that says good things about them. He's the Rosh HaMadabrim. He was invited to every governmental ceremony, and he's the Rosh HaMadabrim. Rabbi Yossi, he goes to Galus. He goes up to Tzipori, which is right near, the whole area, near Tveria, near Hosea. And Rabbi Shimon is Chaim Misa. He says, we're terrible. Right? Chaim Misa, so he went to hide first in the shul, and then went to hide in the cave. This is the story. I'm in the cave. How they live? So the Gemara says a nace happened. A nace happened. Israchish Nisa, where it's underlined Ibril who charuva veina demaya. A carob tree, grew out of the ground and a well of water. When I was growing up, the only thing that I know about Lag BaOmer is they gave out these hard pieces of carob called buxer. I guess that's the Yiddish for it. Like you break your teeth on it. Like that's the only and hopefully in America you go play baseball. Right, that's about it. It's about that was Lag BaOmer, growing up in New York. But here he said, I'd have to do this Gemara then. But that's why the carobs, because we were like remembering Rav Shmuel Yochai. By Mishalchi Minai, it said they took off their clothes. They learned in the sand. Anyway, that's the Gemara. If we have time at the end, maybe we'll come back. But that's the beautiful Gemara. At the end, though, they got out. They got out of the cave. They got out. They had to go back in for a year. They got back out again. We celebrate the day that Rav Shmuel Yochai died a normal death. That's what we celebrate. Because he had a bounty on his head. They didn't find him. That itself is a nace. The fact that he died a normal death, one of the greatest, Rabbi Akiva wasn't zocha to that. But Rav Shmuel Yochai was zocha to that, and that's why maybe we celebrate that. The other idea we mentioned from the Chassam Sofer earlier, the Argadali also mentions it, maybe the Mun. But let's get to two other more fundamental ideas.
What?
Celebrating the fact that he died.
He died on Lag BaOmer, a normal death.
Oh, he died on Lag BaOmer.
He did, yeah. Good. Two other ideas, though, that connect to each other. One is not on your sheet. Okay, I found it after I made the sheet. And maybe it connects to Rabbi Akiva, but it also then connects to Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Akiva is the symbol, did we discuss this recently? I don't remember. Rabbi Akiva is the symbol of optimism. Is the symbol of, Fred, when did we discuss this? Pesach recently, so I'm going to just speak it about 30 seconds because I'm going to relate to Rav Shimon bar Yochai. All the stories in Shas. Right, he sees the Harabayas and he sees the Geula, and he's posited by the Seder, and the water could hit the rock and hit the rock, so it could help me my heart. Oh, everything's positive. So here, Reb Bitterman quotes a story. I don't know where this is from. It's from Sefer Nachlas Avos. Quotes a story about Yochai, Rabbi Shimon's father. Yochai. Yochai and his wife didn't have children for many years. One year, the night of Rosh Hashanah, Yochai had a dream. And dreams on Rosh Hashanah, the son of Gemara and Brachas, also are more significant than others. So he had a dream. And in his dream, he nehu omid be'emsa yar. Let me go back a step. He and his wife didn't have children for many years. And he was thinking of divorcing his wife. His wife cried the whole night. Then came Rosh Hashanah. Back to the story. In the story, he sees he ne'omid be'emse yar avos. He's in the middle of a forest. Kishu nishon al etz yavesh. He's leaning on a dry tree, and all of a sudden he sees a malach with a big barrel, chavis gadol shomayim, and he's giving water to all the trees. He didn't water them equally. So this time he gave a lot, and this time he gave a little. He watered all the trees. And then he comes to the one that he's leaning on. And he's about to take the water from the bottle. He puts the barrel down. Instead, he reaches into his pocket, if angels have pockets, and he takes out a little flask, opens it up, pours the water from the flask onto his tree. And he wakes up. He says, whoa. Right, what was that about? He tells his wife and him talk about it. He says, it sounds like it's Rosh Hashanah. Maybe water is life. Mayim Chayim. Talking about which tree. Every person is a tree. He ate Adam eats a Sada. But I don't understand what was with mine. I'm leaning on this dry tree. And then you take out the little bottle of water. Right? They don't know what to do. So where do they go? They go to Rabbi Akiva. He's the Rebbe. Right? They don't know what to do. They go to Rabbi Akiva. So, Nenner Rabbi Akiva Veheshiv, Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, it's true. It's all about life. But B'derech HaTeva, you aren't supposed to have any children. But, Rak B'Glal Tfiloseha V'Dimoteha Shal Zugatcha Hatzid Kanit. That little bottle was the bottle of tears of your wife last night. And B'Schus that, you're going to have a child. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai himself was born out of a state of hopelessness. A state of, it's not going to happen. It's impossible. Not giving up, not taking no for an answer in terms of ruchnius, in terms of what something that you want. That's Rabbi Akiva. I never realized. That's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, his essence comes after hope was lost, but his mother didn't want to, his mother, we don't even know her name, right, didn't want to take no. So it's a day we celebrate the attitude of Jews throughout history, going back to Rav Shimon's mother. We celebrate this day. This day celebrates the life of Rabbi Shimon, which came out, it's only existed because of hope that was never lost. Because that's how we've survived over the past thousands of years. Always focusing on what could be, not what is. There's a Nesiva Shalom in Parsha Shmos, where the Pasuk says that Basya, or Bisya, don't really, the Pasuk says, looks at Moshe Rabbeinu in the basket, and says, Vihine nar boche, the child's crying. Vatomer miyaldi ha'ivrimzeh. And she says, oh, a Jewish child. So Rashi quotes, he was already mahol, the basket was full of light. But then Nesiva Shalom says, no, different shot. She sees he's crying, and she says, oh, it's a Jewish baby. A Jew cries differently than anyone else. A Jew cries a bechi shel tikva, not a bechi shel yeyush. Because if we wouldn't do that, we wouldn't be around anymore. So much of existence is about the will to live and the will to continue. Rachman al-Islan, you hear about not so many, there are stories. You know, people who are sick, the will to live plays so much of a role. How does he have an elderly couple, that one of the couple was nifter, and then the other one is... Why is that? Because they have such a will to live with each other, and once the will is taken away, that affects. How has the Jewish people survived all these years? Because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, that's true. But it's also our ratzon to continue. And that's Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer celebrates that hope that Am Yisrael that Am Yisrael have. But then a final idea which connects to this. The Ramban tells us in this week's Parsha that really when we think of Sfira nowadays, we think of, not shaving, no weddings. That's what we think about in Yoni Sfira. But that's not really the case on a Daraisa level. Right, the Ramban says in this week's Parsha, source 13, V'hinei b'chag ha-mazah shiva yamim b'kdush lofneim al-achareyim ki kulam kadoshim v'vasochem Hashem. On Pesach, we have a seven-day holiday. And then at the end of Pesach, we have another day of Kedusha, but it's the only Yontif day that we don't say Shechianu. Why not? It's not a separate Yontif. Aren't Pesach and Shavuos kind of parallel to each other? Why does Shavuos have... Pesach and Sukkos. Why does Sukkos have a last day and Pesach doesn't? Meaning a last day of separate holiday. Sukkos has a Shmini Atzeres. Why doesn't Pesach have one? You know, the answer is it does. It does. It's not coincidental that in the Torah, Shmini Atzeres is called Atzeres. But in Torah Shebal Peh, Atzeres is Shavuos. It's not just to confuse us. You know, you see the word Atzeres. You're like, oh, what is that? Shmini. The Torah calls Shmini Atzeres Atzeres. Chazal, in Mishnayis, Atzeres is Shavuos. Why? There's obviously a connection between Shavuos after 7 weeks, the eighth week, Shmini Atzeres, the eighth is parallel. Shmini Atzeres is the ending of Sukkos. Shavuos is the ending of Pesach. The last day of Pesach is not a separate holiday. There's even a medrash that says, that really we should have 50 days between Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres too, but it's the rainy season. Hashem doesn't want us to go back for 2 weeks, get stuck in the mud, and then have to come back a week later. So it's like terrible weather. So just do it all at once. But theoretically, there should be 50 days in between. Hashem is Rachmanis on us. It's a medrash. So anyway, so the Ramban says, all these days that we're in now, it's really between Pesach and Shavuos, it's Chol HaMoed. It's like Chol HaMoed. I know of a certain shtibol that doesn't say Tachlin from Pesach to Shavuos because of this Ramban. Okay. They'll say, oh, where? Ramban. I don't think the Ramban said it. Says the Ramban, so these days are Chol HaMoed. They're happy days, they're Yontif days, they're sanctified days. And yet, now they're days of Avelus. They're Nihuge Avelus. So what's the message for us? Bizman Rabbi Akiva, something else took over. So the following idea. There is a Lishitoso for so many machlokos between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. We discussed months ago, remember the two Bishvat night. We spoke about, hey, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel might have a Lishitoso. So if you look, many are familiar with the Chakiros Sefer, the big black Sefer. So there was an earlier version. I have a black one, I got the new gray one. Why did I get the new one? Because the new one has a Mafteach for Shas in the back. Mafteach for Shas. But I still have the old one. Why did I keep the old one? Usually I give away. If you get a new Ksos, you can give away your old Ksos. You have to transfer the underlines. But usually you can give it away. Why? Because in the back of the early, I don't know why he took it out, but in the back of the earlier version, he goes through like many Machlokos Tanoim and Amoraim trying to find Lishitasos. It's fascinating. But this other say, but he had just a nice list there, so I gave it to you, source 14. Very often, Rabbi Yehuda looks at the physical reality. What's in front of you? And Rabbi Shimon looks at the penis. Rabbi Shimon looks at what's hidden, what's behind the scenes. And he quotes, Dorjane Miskavim. So I do an act on Shabbos, and it might have happened. Sick Reish, everybody says it's usher. But Darshim is Kavin, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen. Rabbi Yehuda says, you can't do it. You can't do it. It's usher. If it happens, it's usher. You did it. What did Rabbi Shimon say? That wasn't your Kavana. Darshim is Kavin. It happened, it wasn't your Kavana. You look at your Machshava. Similar, Malach Genesis for Lagufa. Let's say that means many definitions of the Rishonim, a malacha that's done for a different purpose than was done in the Mishkan. You know what Rabbi Yehuda says? Chayiv. Who cares what they did in the Mishkan, what the purpose was? You did this action that is they did in the Mishkan is Aser. So it's the same act. It's Aser. Rabbi Shimon says, no. Aser Darabon. Because it's not the same. You look at what's behind. Some of you are my Shia, we discussed this last month. Darshinon Taima Dekra. Do you darshan the reasons behind mitzvahs? Are there abundant a lot of darshan? Machlokas at the end of Bamitziah. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no! What's in front of you is the mitzvah. Don't worry about the Taima Dekra. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you look behind. Is it a rich woman? Is it a poor woman? And he quotes a couple of others, but let's think for a moment the Gemara we mentioned before. Shabbos Lama Gimel. What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Look what the Romans have done. They built these marketplaces. They built roads. Shkoyach! Shkoyach! And what does Rabbi Shimon say? What, are you crazy? You know why they did it? They're selfish. They want taxes. They want this, they want that. He looks at what's behind. He looks at the panemius. Some of you might have touched on this also. Alright, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, how do you destroy chametz? What does Rabbi Yehuda say? If it's here, it's a problem. You need to burn it. Ein bir chametz ela b'sreifa. You need to destroy it, make it not physically here. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you could change the essence. You could crumple it up and throw it to the wind. Okay, that's not exactly the same. That's not panemius. But you've changed the essence. But in that context, I once heard in the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, another one that connects, and then we'll get back to us. Lubavitcher Rebbe says, Pasuk says in the Tochacha, Vishbati Chayaram in Haaretz, in the future, there's not going to be any wild animals. When Mashiach comes. Machlokas in the Medrash, what does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda says, there's not going to be any lions or bears or tigers when Mashiach comes. They're not going to be there. Vishbati Chayaram in Haaretz. Rabbi Shimon says, no, there will be lions and tigers and bears, but they're not going to hurt you. They're not going to be wild. Right? They'll sit, the lion and the sheep. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not there. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the panemius. It's not going to be wild. Whenever you have a process of geula, it's never obvious. Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av. Mashiach is described in Zechariah as ani v'rocheva l'chamor, poor riding on a donkey. Every word in that phrase is important. The Zohar says ani is erev nida yevamis. When we start learning those masechtas, Mashiach will come. Rocheva l'chamor, why a chamor? Why not like a stallion or a horse? But just take the words ani rocheva l'chamor. He's not going to look so great because geula cannot always be identified. Hashem is in charge of the process. You have to dig behind. Why did the Arizal all of a sudden make a big deal when he came back to Tzfat in the 1500s? And after Rosh Hashanah Yochai. Tzfat was really the first major Torah center post-Korban Beis HaMikdash back in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Bavel was the center. Baba was the center during all the days of the Amoraim, and not after Churban, I should say, once it left, after the Mishnais. Mishnais, obviously, the center was Yavne, you have cities there, but once they left, the Gemara, and then during all the days of the Gaonim, right, and then all the Rishonim, what Rishonim were from Eretz Yisrael? We have Eddie? What Rishonim were from Eretz Yisrael? We have Tosas Chachmei Anglia on one Masechta. But generally, so when did it come back? Tzfat. The Arizal comes back to Tzfat. Rabbi Yosef Cairo comes to Tzfat. Rabbi Shlomo Alkavitz comes to Tzfat in the 1500s. Why is it called Tzfat? That name's not a Tanakh. Tzipisa Yeshua. Tzipisa, this was the first step back. And the Arizal felt it. This is the beginning of bringing Am Yisrael back.
See, he goes to Meron. Because Meron is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon always sees this, what's behind the scenes. Right? Let's add one. Rabbi Shimon is Torah's Hanistar, not Nigleh. He's associated with the Zohar, what's behind the scenes. Not always what's in front of you. So the Arizal felt this, and he says, that's why we start celebrating. Because this is the beginning of the Geula. This is the beginning. It's not coincidental, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, that the modern Yimei Geula are in this time period. This time period that really inherently is like Chol HaMoed, but Yimei Avelus has taken over it, and this is Rabbi Akiva, but Yom HaTzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim, right, is in this time period. Nothing's coincidental in Jewish history. So that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the beginning of the process. 500 Geula is a long process. But Baruch Hashem, at least half the Jewish people are back in Eretz Yisrael now. Unbelievable. In just over 150 years. There's also something else about Lag BaOmer that you might remember. Bow and arrow. I know that. You have a bow and arrows. What does a bow and arrow have to do with Lag BaOmer? They say a bow is a keshet. It's a rainbow. Right? So it's the same shape. So in the days of Rosh Hashanah, Chazal say there was never a rainbow because Hashem never got mad. What's a rainbow? A rainbow is behind the clouds. You have to search to find the rainbow often. Where is it? Oh, you know. It's what's hidden. That's Rabbi Shimon. And that's what we focus on. So again, yes, he died a normal death. And maybe the month started falling. And the Torah that he gave over, that's true. That's all, 100%. That's a huge... Right before he died, he gave over all the Torahs in Istar. But maybe this also, he gives the last two. He gives hope. His life symbolizes the hope. And symbolizes Geula, redemption, because Rav Shimon is always at the hidden. And you have to look behind the scenes to see it. And the last two just connect to one final point just to make. And this is Lamaisa. This is something that we can do. There's a Gemara in Mi'ilo Daf Yud Zayin. You have it in the last source. A little Torah of Rav Shimon. The Gemara tells a story there. The Romans made Xera. It's a fascinating story. You have it there in Source 20. Famous Gemara in Mi'ilah. It's famous if you know it. Somebody once quoted, I remember 30 years ago I heard, the famous Gemara in Croesus. There is no famous Gemara in Croesus. He says, we'll make it famous. Anyway, but then the Mi'ilah, so the Gemara, they had to send somebody to get rid of this Xera to the Roman government. So who do they send? Let's send Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Why? The Gemara says, line 10, Melumad Benisim. He's Melumad Benisim. These miracles aren't too far from him. And then we're tells the whole story that on the way he met Ben Tamalion. It was a demon, and he gets upset. Why do I get a demon and not a real malach? And he's like, okay, I gotta take what you can get. So the demon helped him and possessed the daughter of the Caesar, fascinating Gemara, and he saves the day. Fine. If you don't know the Gemara, feel free to read it. Great story. But Rav Shimon is Melumad Benisim. Lag BaOmer can be a day that we can tap into the power of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's a day of hope, as we said. It's a day that if there's anything in our lives that seems impossible, Rav Shimon is Melumad Benisim. Rav Shimon is someone, there are stories and stories. I'm on this WhatsApp with Rav Bitterman, so I got it's an hour-long shiur about Lag BaOmer. It's all stories. The whole thing are stories that people call him and tell him these stories about Lag BaOmer. Person was sick with liver problems their whole life. Somebody died. I don't think it's that. I mean, that story must have been that simple. But Melumad Benisim. It's a day that we could daven. We could daven for Nisim. Personal Nisim. National Nisim. For the world to get, not to get back to normal, but to go to the next step. And for everybody to have a refuah. And, for us to be able to enjoy being in Obed Hashem like we want to. There's so much to daven for. So much to daven for. But it's a day that we can think beyond and think the impossible. And dream the impossible. Because it's a day that Rabbi Shimon, some say if you died today, you must have been born today also. Because, tzaddikim, the same. So maybe it's his birthday too. But either way, it's a day that we could daven. It's a day we could appreciate the Torah that he gave us. It's a day that, what's the first thing Rav Shimon said in Shas? Eretz Yisrael, right? Three matanos tovos were given to Am Yisrael. Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. So, this Friday, you know what we can do? We can learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael and gain Olam Haba. Right? All three, which you don't always get to, do. So, Bischus Rabbi Shimon, we could daven and daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gives us all nisim and aflos, and we don't just have the beginning of the Gula process like the Arizal said, Tzvat, but we should finish it already as we're going. It should be obvious to all that even Rabbi Yehuda's view would be able to see the Gula, right, and not just Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll stop here.